It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN 303. Your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with Brad Thompson and Chris Ron. Jim Anthony Stalzer. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by former Pittsburgh Penguin Joey Vitale, our good buddy. Joey, how's the pandemic treating you?
Hey, boys, you know what? It's going okay. I've loved listening to the Chris Duncan stuff today. I caught about 20 minutes earlier, and that's kind of gotten me through this day, which I'm taking one day at a time. And, you know, you guys kind of encouraged me. I'm out here playing catch with my kids, and since we're on the Chris Duncan theme, you know, BT, obviously, you know, guys, you play baseball growing up. Is there something just therapeutic about just playing catch, like hearing that smack of the ball hitting the leather and throwing it? I mean, I'm out here talking to my kids, and it's a good thing. Today's a good day because of that. And I remember in Mike Matheny's manifesto book, the one line I always remember is when parents always used to ask Mike Matheny, you know, what do you recommend I do for my kid? And he always just said, just play catch with them. Because I tell you what, you're working on a skill, but more importantly, you're communicating. And that's such a cool thing. And for Chris Duncan today, I think I'm going to do just that for a little bit longer.
That's so cool that you mentioned that, because you just saying that brings back memories of my childhood. That was every single day when my dad got home from work, and he laid carpet and tile. That's what he did. He was working hands and knees all day long. You know he's worn out, but every day he'd get home and he'd be ready to play some catch. That's a special thing. What you and your son are doing right now, that's a throwback. People don't do that stuff anymore, Joey, and I love it, and that's a great way to celebrate Dunk's birthday. I'm digging it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, man. No, it's great because, you know, we're out here throwing a baseball around, and what kids don't know, and sometimes parents forget too. Yeah, we're throwing a ball. Yeah, we're working on a skill. But, you know, I think Mike Matheny was right. No, what we're really doing is we're communicating. And for us athletic guys and guys who love sports, to me, it's always been – my form of communication has always been through sport. You know, so when you don't know how to talk to certain people, you don't know how to handle certain situations, we just grab a stick or we grab a ball or grab a glove. It's how we communicate. And there's so much great communication to be had. So I encourage all fathers, moms out there, brothers, sisters, if you got a glove, you got an old chewed up baseball from your dog, grab it, go outside and play some catch.
Yeah, it's cool. It's funny how your guards come down when you're doing something like that. It's a really good point. Hey, how many times do you hit your kid in the face in an average game of catch? Because I'm at 1.5 at least.
Well, we always wear sunglasses for that reason. Smart. It's not even sunny out right now, and we're wearing eye protection because you're absolutely right. I try to do my best to not throw it at his body. Like, I try to throw it around the circumference, hopefully to the glove, and sometimes I reach across. But every now and then, one gets away from me, and it's going right at his gut, and I'm just, like, praying that he catches it. Because as you guys know, you hit your kid once, it's over. Like, I quit. I'm out of here. I'm going to tell mom, and then game over. So, yeah, however to avoid the kid, it's hard, though. It's hard. But then also at the same time, you know, my first response always is when it smokes you in the eye, I'm like, get your glove in front of it, bruh. This is a piece of leather. It's there to protect you. Use it.
Joey, if he does go and get mom to tell on you, what are the repercussions that you even face?
You know what? That's an even better question. We just had our fourth kid. Within a minute, he will be right back outside, and I will probably say, what'd mom say? And she said, suck it up. So he'll just suck it up. I mean, my wife has turned into full-blown, like, almost a dad in the sense that you have one kid, yeah, two maybe, three and four, you're just like, listen, we don't know what's going on in the world right now. I don't have time to nurse your eye back together. I mean, come on, go out there and figure it out, young boy.
Joey, yesterday, and we're talking to Joey Vitale, former Pittsburgh Penguin here on 101 ESPN. Joey, on that note, and please critique me on my parenting skills, but my two-year-old son, Killian, stepped on my three-year-old daughter Madeline's face, and she starts crying, and she comes up to me, and I'm very busy, as you know, but she comes up to me, she goes, Daddy, Killian stepped on my face, and I'm like, Oh, well, just drink some milk. That helps me when somebody steps on my face. And it worked.
No.
Yes. She took the sip of milk and she goes, oh, okay, thanks, Daddy. It's all good. Is that wrong?
That's not bad.
No. No. You need a default and distract, the two Ds. I'll never forget when I was growing up, I used to get beat up on my brothers all the time. One time I got hit in the head with a rock, and I remember I was bleeding. I went up to my grandpa, who was Sicilian, who olive oil fixed everything. You put olive oil on anything, and nice. You're good to go moving forward. He saw it, and he said, Giuseppe, Joseph and Italian, he said, Giuseppe, go find a round of rock and rub it on your head. And he was smart. He sent me out to his garden, and there was no round rocks. But here I was for 20 minutes looking for a round rock. All he was trying to do was just distract me. And you know what? It worked. It completely works, because while I'm trying to find this round rock, I kind of forgot about my own pain. So you know, God, to be honest with you, I think it's a great way to do it. Milk will cure it.
Perfect. Thank you. Now, transitioning here, Joey, if there's anybody that would be studying up on whatever a murder hornet is, I believe it would be Joey Vitale. Do you have anything on these murder hornets that are apparently trying to wipe out our bee population? I'm very concerned.
Do you guys ever just sit back and just look at all this stuff and just think, what the heck is going on?
Yes. Yes. Pretty much every hour now.
Yes.
To answer your question, no. I have no idea what those things are. Because the idea of processing anything new right now in my life, I just can't bear it. I mean, but the articles. The articles of these murder hornets, see their faces? Their eyes look like mean. Like, what artist drew a murder hornet and purposely made him look like a grim reaper? Like, surely their faces don't look like their forehead skins being indented out of anger and making a grip. I mean, who are these people? What's going on in the world? I think we all need to sit back every now and then to say, what the heck's going on in the world?
I find it comforting, Joey, to be terrified of something else at this point. Yep. So I'm going with the murder hornet right now. I do think that milk can probably help. Chances are, if you're a honeybee, you're more at risk than humans. But they've been seen in the greater Creve Coeur area or town and country or wherever you are playing catch outside.
Oh, geez. All right, boys, let's go inside. I'll explain later. Let's get your gloves. Don't worry about your gloves. Let's just go. Everyone in.
Get the milk.
Joey, I was telling the story yesterday I just read about a beekeeper who had his full beekeeping outfit on. He had sweatpants on underneath the outfit, and he still got stung through the beekeeper uniform, through the sweatpants, and still pierced his skin by these stupid hornets.
Come on. I mean, that's one profession I never quite understood. Am I the only one here, guys? I mean, a beekeeper, I know we need them, but if you're going to wear the mask, I would think you got to wear everything. You see these beekeepers, they have the headset, but then they go bare skin. I don't know. It's just one of those professions that, to me, I love honey. Don't get me wrong. And I think it's the one food that doesn't spoil. But I don't know. I don't know, guys. I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore.
I went the complete opposite when I heard about these murder hornets. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's not a pandemic, so I guess it's fine.
It's our food, Anthony.
I know. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying at this point, I'm not as worried about a murder hornet. All right, Joey, last thing for you. I guess we have to ask you, is hockey coming back or no?
It is. Guys, I'm telling you, I got a good feeling. Listen, I've been talking to a lot of the players, probably more in the last week than I have in the last 2 months, just randomly, you know, picking their brains and kind of seeing where they're at. For a while there, earlier this week, it seemed like no players really knew anything different than what we do. But as of the last few days, to me, it appears that players are starting to be told that we are going to be, or you need to be reporting to your club city. Let's just call it mid-May, without an exact date, because they don't know the exact date yet. But plans are in the process of players being reporting or in the process of reporting back. Now, that's a tall order, because a lot of teams have players that need to cross borders. So you have to get through the border. Can they get through the border? And then once they're in the border, I think the Canadian Prime Minister said the other day that any players that come back to Canada need to quarantine for 14 days. So that's why teams are starting this process now of getting players back, because the reality is that when an Oscar Sundquist, for example, comes back over from Sweden, if he needs to do nothing for 14 days, well, they need to get him over here as soon as possible if a mid-May is an area or timeline where they're kind of looking to at least get back together. Now, from there, kind of some of the information I'm gathering, at least hypotheticals and strong hypotheticals, would be a three-week camp. I think that's a very strong number. I don't think it should be really any less and no more. I think that's the sweet spot, three-week camp. Is that going to be here in St. Louis? It's possible that this actually may take place in a neutral site too. Not just the season, but the training camp may also happen at a neutral site, which could propose a little bit of an issue for families. But something to get through. So once you get them together, 3-week camp, 2 weeks, finish the regular season, and then we're right, bam, right in the playoffs. I really hope this thing doesn't pick back up. I hope nothing really happens to kind of get away from that, guys, because like any sport, and hockey, I love hockey, it's got a cool opportunity, assuming every safety measure is taken, because that is first and foremost, and I say that with an asterisk because, of course, you want to make sure everyone's safe and doing well. But if they make sure of that, there's a great opportunity because there's a lot of people that miss hockey. There's a lot of people that miss sports. And you're not only going to grab hockey fans, you're going to grab just people everywhere, millions, billions even, to the sport that comes back. It's almost a race to the first, I would say. But again, making sure we're doing it under control and safety first, of course, for all things. But no, to answer your question, I'm feeling very optimistic this week. I felt optimistic last week. I feel better this week. I think the wheels are turning in the right direction, guys.
Beautiful. We'll end on that. Joey, you're the best of all time, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, and I want to let you guys know, I listened yesterday, I listened today, the Three Amigos, Three Stooges, whatever you want to call you guys are doing a terrific job. I'm really looking forward to this hit every week, and I'll be listening to you guys every afternoon.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean, not every afternoon. I mean, I'm not that bored, but you know what I mean.
What the hell, Joey?
I thought we were leaving on a high note, but
Stalter, that thing you said about Joey being the best, I'd like you to retract it.
Joey Vitale.
See you guys.
Kind of good.
Kind of good.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. See you, man. Joey Vitale here on 101 at ESPN. All right. It's the Fast Lane here on 101 ESPN. We are going to talk about something that Ranji asked Skip Schumacher. What if players say no? We're not coming back. Do we envision a scenario in any sport of that happening? That's next in the Fast Lane.